Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Today we begin our series on homelessness in Michigan. Just what are our misconceptions about those who don't have a roof over their heads? And what does homelessness say about us as a society? Also on today's show, we look at what Michigan cities could learn from the rebuilding of New Orleans. But first, Sandy Hook Elementary School, a name that is now burned into history, the history of senseless violence in the United States. As the nation mourns the 20 young students and 6 teachers and school administrators killed Friday in the Connecticut grade school mass shooting, attention here in Michigan has been freshly focused on a law that was passed less than 24 hours before the Sandy Hook massacre. One of the last acts of the lame duck legislature was to pass a bill that allows those with concealed pistol licenses to carry guns into schools, daycare centers, hospitals, churches, stadiums, and bars. Governor Snyder now has to consider whether to sign or veto this legislation.
It was just a terrible tragedy in Connecticut. Our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone there. I know everyone around the nation feels that way, and it does give you real pause about whether what's in this bill would be appropriate or not.
Joining us now is Michigan Public Radio Lansing Bureau Chief Rick Pluta. So, Rick, help us understand this. Even before this legislation, what did Michigan have in the form of gun regulations? Maybe we should start by outlining the difference between open carry and concealed carry.
Sure. Well, right now, Michigan is what's called an open carry state that if you don't need a license or anything like that, that if you are in a public space, that you can sling your rifle over your shoulder, you can put a holster on as long as it's outside of your clothing and openly carry. One of the places that applies apparently is schools. Very few people do it, but it is apparently the law. So one of the trade-offs in this legislation would be that schools would no longer be open carry areas, but they would be someplace where you could carry a concealed pistol if you go in for more classroom training and have more range time, that you would then be allowed to go and carry into these other places, schools, daycares, hospitals, with a concealed pistol license.
So proponents of this bill seem to argue, well, this actually restricts the possibility that guns could be carried into a school or the like. Here's Senator Rick Jones of the 24th District, because we talked to him about Senate Bill 59 and also whether some group could or could not opt out of allowing guns in. Here's what he said.
What this bill does is, first place, is you will not be able to open carry into these zones anymore. That will be banned. The only people that will be able to carry into these zones would be either be a retired police officer in good standing or a citizen with additional enhanced training. And in addition to that, a business, a school, a church could simply post a sign that said guns are not allowed, and then no one would be able to legally enter those places. So this is a new restriction in Michigan law, and I don't believe the media has correctly reported this in some cases.
So, Rick, from what you've done in studying the law, how accurate is this statement?
Well, somewhat, but not entirely accurate. And keep in mind, we are still sorting through this 80-page bill and trying to find out what's in it. But I have read it. Earlier versions of it did include apparently language that would have allowed a school to post as a no-gun zone, just as it could today. It is not in the version of Senate Bill 59 that's in front of the governor. It does allow for the operators of private buildings, and a church would count as a private building, to post as a no carry zone. That there's language in it that says that universities, with their autonomy in the state constitution, would be able to enact their own campus gun ordinances. But it's murky at best as to, you know, what schools would be allowed to do. In terms of whether or not it's more restrictive, I mean, that's kind of a subjective statement, that you could argue that certainly that getting rid of open carry is more restrictive, but is it more restrictive as a practical matter? Very few people do it.
I want to talk about the politics of the situation that Governor Rick Snyder is in right now. Apparently, you know, he's been officially neutral as the legislation made its way through the state legislature, and now we have Sandy Hook. So did the governor go through some negotiations with the bill's sponsor, Senator Mike Green, and is he now expecting the governor to sign?
Well, there were. And as a matter of fact, the original point of controversy on this package, and it wasn't even in this particular piece of legislation, was whether or not the state was going to continue to have a registry of pistol owners that gun rights advocates wanted the state to get rid of it. They don't like the idea of the government actually having lists of people who have firearms. But the Michigan State Police came in and said, you know, we use this to solve crimes, that they use the registered the pistol registry, for example, just to name one, to track down the I-96 shooter. So that was originally, you know, there were a whole lot of negotiations. Even this legislation, this point was, you know, at the outset, kind of a minor part of it, that this is actually part of a bill that would get rid of county gun boards that are made up of prosecutors and clerks and sheriffs. And it says that because Michigan is what's called a shall issue state, that these local gun boards can't deny applications for concealed weapons permits unless they've got a specific reason that's outlined in the law for denying it. And this was all, you know, done based on that. My understanding is that the governor did press for including schools as gun-free zones, or at least legally gun-free zones, in this legislation, and he was turned down.
So where does he sit now, in your view? What price would Governor Snyder pay politically if he vetoes the legislation?
Well, the phone calls, web messages, emails coming in to the governor by, if I'm counting correctly, and there are thousands of them, people who want him to veto the legislation, they're outnumbering the people who are supporting it by about 5-1. And that's out of, something north of 6,000 contacts that have come into the governor's office so far. So, you know, one would get the sense that the public at large certainly would like to see this particular piece of legislation go away. But, you know, he is an elected Republican who has said he would like to serve a second term, and he's got to think about his party's base and what that means in terms of reelection. Now, those are very, you know, crass political calculations that probably aren't as prominent in many respects as they would on a lot of other questions that aren't as sensitive as this, just considering, you know, how horrible it was, how recent it was.
Rick Pluta, Lansing Bureau Chief for Michigan Public Radio Network. Thanks for talking with us today, Rick.
Oh, you bet, Cindy.